I was raised in church, and one of the earliest memories that I have is about over 50 years ago. We were sitting in church on New Year's Eve in services that we used to call watch night services. How many of y'all ever been to a watch night service? And you would have preaching and singing and eating and preaching and singing and eating and preaching and singing and eating all evening until it got to midnight. And I remember as a kid looking up at a big clock that we had in the back, because my dad had a problem like I did. He didn't preach too long, so he always put a clock in the back like you all turn around and look at and see what time it was. Y'all don't think I see you doing that, do you? Like, yeah, I see you. I watch you. And I was thinking it got closer and closer to midnight, closer and closer. Finally, that hand hit midnight, 1960, and I thought, wow, it's later than it's ever been before. Certainly the Lord's going to come this year. Wow, that's been a long time ago now, though, hasn't it? Now, since the Lord has not come, does that mean he's not coming? No, it just means that it's that much closer that he is going to come, isn't it? I'd hear messages on the judgment of God back in the 60s and how, you know, all the craziness that was going on in the 60s with all the wild parties going throughout the universities, and then the Vietnam War was coming and all the kind of craziness that was going on that. And I remember thinking about how that God is going to bring judgment to America. The message was seemingly very consistent that God is going to judge America for its sins. And it wasn't long till Roe versus Wade hit, and wow, things began to escalate in our country. Even Billy and Ruth Graham made famous that saying, you've heard it, haven't you? If God doesn't judge America, then he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Those kind of things were escalating in the judgment of God. As I hear these messages on judgment, it kind of brings fear to me. I was kind of thinking, well, the Lord's going to come, the tribulation's going to happen any time, and, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get through college or not. I was wanting to go into the ministry. Will I ever have the opportunity to get married? Will I be able to establish a home? Then later, as things began to go, I still feel that the Lord was coming, and so I'd wonder if I'm going to be able to get my whole family together. As time goes and you feel like the financial crunch of America happens and you see the meltdown that's happening, I'm thinking, you know, am I going to be able to survive some kind of an economic meltdown? And those kind of fears were there because of all the preaching of God's judgment. How many have ever had thoughts like that? Would you raise your hand? You know, you had some fears about God's judgment? Yeah, I think we all have. And the part about that that's kind of crazy is that, you know, sometimes we as Christian, we focus on that judgment and we're trying to do the best we can. None of us feel like we're perfect, and sometimes we're feeling like God's going to bring judgment to America because I'm not doing very well, or my church isn't doing very well on doing what God wants to do. But there's a part about that judgment I want you to understand that's a little bit of a different look at God's judgment. Last week we talked about how that we are to be intercessors for God, that we are to be praying to God, that God would stay his hand for the remnant of God's people. Remember, a remnant is, while the whole nation is a large, is not given to God, there's a group of people, like AJ was praying for, that God would save our land because of a few who would stand for him, and I'm asking you to be one of those few. But I want also to ask you to look at the other side of judgment, to look at what this could really look in concerning to our lives and the way that we live. Before that, let's bow in prayer and ask God's blessings upon us as we look in his word. Dear Lord, we are guilty as a nation for turning our backs on your principles and from straying far away from your commands. Our thinking as a nation has become vain. Our hearts are darkened. Our passions are out of control. Many times we're prone to worry and fear. But we choose to trust you. We in the past have always trusted you, and we will not change from that, knowing that you are our sovereign Lord and God. Lord, please hear our prayer this morning. Bring America back to you. and start with me, start with these folks out here, start with Lighthouse Baptist Church. May your word and may your name be honored once again in this great country. We pray this in Jesus' name because we believe it's consistent with God's will. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Throughout these messages, I've been highlighting key principles helping us to remember to sound the alarm. I believe we are still living in the last days. I believe that 50 years ago, 60 years ago, those preachers were not wrong, that God's coming is soon. The principle that I want to first share with you is simply this, that the message of God's judgments, of the judgment of the nations, must be kept in balance with other teachings of Scriptures. Now, when I say that, I'm not bailing out on the reality that God's going to judge America. Is God going to judge America? Absolutely, without a doubt. You better believe that God doesn't look lightly on the immorality of America. But if that's all we focus on, then we take the emphasis off what God really wanted us to do as a nation, as a church, I mean, and that is to keep the Great Commission. That is the marching orders of the church, is to keep the Great Commission. Today, our national sins are much greater than they were 50 years ago. However, God's marching orders for the church has never changed. And all of his children, the children of God, need to remember that we are to be faithful to him and that we are to continue to preach the gospel, that we are to win souls, that we are to disciple converts. That's the command that God gave us to the church. Now, I know that didn't sound very exciting, but that ought to really thrill you because God gives us a light in the midst of darkness. You are the hope of America because you carry the message of Christ. Yours is the only hope that will ever save America. There's no doubt that America is in great trouble. We're on the brink of disaster, aren't we? We're nearly $20 trillion in debt. It has doubled in the last 8 years. Are we going to lose more and more jobs? Are we going to lose our manufacturing edge? Are we going to be able to support all the illegal aliens that are flooding into America's shores to flee the rampant decay in their own countries? I don't know about you. How many would just say here this morning, like me, I was born in Canada. How many would say that you were not born in the United States of America? Would you raise your hand? Several across here. Don't you thank God for the United States of America? I do. This is the greatest country on earth. And the world is coming to our shores. It is an opportunity that we have never had in all of Christendom to reach the nations because they're coming to us. Many times in America, we're seeing social unrest. It's leading to rioting in our cities. Are we going to see our younger generation reject moral absolutes and the American policies for a new brand of socialism? All that seems to be on the horizon. That brings trouble to my heart. I believe that we also are on the edge of still terrorist attacks that are hitting America. And there's new aggression all over this world that is a very dangerous aggression with Russia and Iran, North Korea, just to mention a few, who could trigger cataclysmic kind of events that could damage our country. The voices of deep concern for America are coming, not just from the pulpits of America, but also from key leaders of Congress with the ever-increasing debt, with increasing entitlements, and with the continual printing of new and yet shrinking dollars. America is heading down the wrong road in almost every area of life. And these are signs of God's judgment to our country. You want to really hurt America? Hit us in our pocketbook. That's where we hurt. America is in judgment. Let me give you this kind of thought. How many of you have seen on TV the commercials where they're selling gold and silver to kind of hedge your bet against we see those all the time, don't you? Matter of fact, I kind of hardly wait till we get done with all these political advertisements to get back to, you know, ambulance chasing, you know, lawyer commercials, you know what I'm saying? But there's that fear there. Grab up some gold, grab up some silver. In case the whole shoot match goes down the drain, you'll cover yourself. Many of you probably are doing those things. Why? Because there's a real fear. It's a real legitimate fear that our country's in big trouble. But this is not the first time that God promised judgment to his people. You see, we, the nation of America, are a God's people. We started this country with God in mind, didn't we? Think back in the Old Testament when God told Habakkuk that judgment was coming. How did he respond? Well, in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16, it shows us he responded in fear. He said these words, I heard and my inward parts trembled at the sound of my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones, and in my place I trembled, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Habakkuk knew that God's judgment was coming, that the soldiers were at the door, that they were about ready to, and it shook him to his very foundation. But listen to the next words that were in his mouth. These are crucial that you hear them, because this ought to be our response. He said these words, "Yet I will exalt the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he hath made my feet like hinds' feet." That's like deer feet. It makes me to walk on my high places. He's saying that he's counting on God to work these things out. God's in charge. God's not taken off guard by these kind of things. And because of that, it gives him great strength, like a deer that just jumps over the mountains. The strength that he has. He's saying knowing that God's in charge changes all that, even the judgment that is coming. There's no doubt that times are changing in America. Not just the past 50 years, but the past 5 years especially. Just 8 years ago, a majority of Americans voted to elect a president who's had a one-word campaign theme. It was the word change, wasn't it? Now, to be honest, all politicians, even in today's rates, promise change as well. But the change was not to return to the principles that America was founded upon, but rather to an American that departs from God and the moral principles that made her a great country in the first place. Second principle to remember. These notes are in your bulletin too if you want to follow through with them. I hope you did extra study on those things that we had last week. The second principle, even in the midst of cataclysmic change, God calls us to increasing faithfulness, increasing prayer, increasing faith, confidence in his sovereign control. So when you see these judgments coming, it's not a time to be fearful. It's a time to step up, to be faithful to God, to be praying, intercessory prayer, praying for our country, and then to have faith that God is going to take care of these situations. 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote to his protege, Timothy, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." We're in those perilous times. He defines them. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, boast, blasphemers." That's a pretty tough list. And then we think that this one looks like it's out of order, but it's not really. Disobedient to parents. You see, any kind of disregard for authority makes the list with God. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. Unthankful, unholy, he goes on. Unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then here's the response. He says, "And from such turn away." Then if I could bump you down to verse 14, you'd find another response. In other words, don't just reject those things, but here's what you're supposed to do. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." So don't give up. Don't say, "Well, can't do anything." Man, pray. Avoid the works of darkness. believers, it is time that we live as Christians. It's a dark world. It is absolutely true that you must live as light in this world. One of the verses that we've highlighted for years, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. The world doesn't have anything that's worth following. Darkness is not the place to go. Now, there's no doubt that people who peddle fear and the feelings that they have, the gifts of prophecy, they'll say that God's judgment is coming to America, and they do have an audience. Why? Because there's a lot of truth in that. It's that America is going to soon reap a terrible harvest for their sins. But when they look at the end times, their answer to it is not the answer that's there. Matter of fact, when you speak of the end times, there's two out-of-balance groups that emerge. The first one is simply the survivalist. It's a group that's departed from the Bible as the only object source of God's truth. They've replaced it with an authority that comes from visions or dreams or prophecies that they or their members make, and they say that those are the guiding forces to lead us on. Many extreme and specific declarations are made concerning God's judgment on America. Many times they'll pick dates when the Lord's going to come, and they have out-of-balance controls on these kind of things. But they're preaching fear. You might say, well, what's wrong with that? Because there is judgment. Here's the problem with that, is that it always leads people away from the historic responsibilities that Christians have. And that is the mission of the church, to keep the Great Commission. Their message of the coming judgment is imbalanced. It's out of control. Our focus ought never to be upon the world, but upon the Lord. Certainly prophecies in the Bible, but it's not the only message. I preach on prophecy, I absolutely do. It contains one of the greatest amounts of Scripture. Why? Because God wants us to know that He's in control. It also He wants us to know that our job is very urgent, that we need to cast the seed because He's coming. The second group is the sleepers. Maybe you're sitting right here now and you're thinking, well, this doesn't really matter to me. It doesn't really concern me. I'm getting along and I don't really care what's going on in the world and I'm just kind of sitting. Actually, sleepers don't care. They're probably desensitized to the events that's happening around them. They don't sense that America's on a slippery slope. They're opposed to the reactionary survivalists. You know, they're going, those guys are just way out of control. They are. They've seen that. But they've become kind of just comatose to what's going on around them. They kind of think that it's all going to work out in the end. Pastor Keith, don't get alarmed. You know, I mean, we've had bad presidents before. And we'll probably survive this one. Just kind of go down the road. It's going to be okay. You know, they kind of feel as long as I can pay my bills, as long as I can kind of get my job going, then we're satisfied. To consider that America is in a place of moral failure, that disaster is coming because of not living according to God's word, is too much for them to consider, and so they just sit back and just do nothing. There's one final group that exists that I think is the balanced group, and it's the one that God wants us to have living in the last times. It's this group of intercessors and kingdom builders. This is what God has called us to do in this generation. The Bible calls Christians to be aware of your culture. Many of you are going, man, am I aware of it? All you have to do is turn the TV on at night. You're pretty aware. But what are you going to do about it? In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it praises the sons of Issachar because it says this, that they understood the times and knew what to do. Now, it's one thing, isn't it, to understand the times. It's quite a different thing to know what to do. They knew what to do. Now, the survivalists, they understand the times. They just come up with the wrong answers. The sleepers fail to understand the times, and kind of like an ostrich, they just stick their heads in the sand and refuse to acknowledge what's going on. In our situation, they just kind of never vote. They wouldn't be involved in their culture. They wouldn't witness. They just kind of go down the road. They're going to heaven, that's good enough for them, and they could care less about anything else. let me give you another principle here. I think this is a very important one. That we ought to be like the sons of Issachar. Issachar is one of the 12 tribes, isn't he? They understood the times and they know what needs to be done. So like the sons of Issachar, 3,000 years ago, Christianity Today ought to have a better understanding of the Bible because we have so much more revelation than the sons of Issachar. And the characteristics of God and the burden that he gives to us and the call that he's given to us. And it brings us to two things when we understand the times. What are they? The first one is this, and I talked to you about last week, is to give intercessory prayer and forgiveness and ask God for revival in our land. God can still bring revival to this land. But it's going to take a dedication from God's people to say, let it start with me. Secondly, to be obedient to the mission of God's church. Our eyes are fixated on our culture. Oh, we see what's going on. But we as God's children should not be shaken by it. Neither should our eyes be on the culture to the sense to where we are drawn into it. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. And so there's no alarm here. Why? Well, we know that God's in control. And as you look at the greater picture, you see that in these last days, the perilous times must come. So it's not like it's a big shaky revelation to us going, wow, I never thought this would happen. We know it's going to happen. So how do we handle that situation? We ought to seek for personal revival, spiritual growth in our lives. And yet, across America, the Christians of America are very uncommitted. Very rarely do Christians read their Bible on a constant basis. Very rarely do they step up and fill the gap when there's a gap there to be filled. Because we have been permeated by this world's culture. Here's what would stop that. Is that we ought to seek to serve and build the local New Testament church. In these last days, you ought to be found with your hand to the plow, working with all that you have for the local New Testament church. The church is the hope of the world. It is your responsibility to be part of this church. Get involved. Some of you shouldn't have to be calling you saying, hey, where have you been? What's going on in your life? You ought to be here. You ought to be serving when you get here. Our goals ought to be about building strong families. You know what? The devil is after your home. Can you imagine the pagan kind of philosophies that are being fed to your children on a constant basis? Your family ought to matter so much to you that you would be so dedicated to God that your family would have a strong home. And in this world, that's a very difficult thing. So, Dad, let me march down your row for just a second. It is vital that you be the leader of your home in these last days. Now, you can't stand for everybody else's family, but you can stand for yours. And your children need to be in heaven with you. And they'll see that by a dad who loves God and who follows him and has moral principles that extend beyond a Sunday morning. Dads, stand up. Take control of your homes. Follow God with all that you have, with all that you are. Your home is worth it. You know, when you do that, God will provide your every need. Sometimes we're going, I don't think God can handle this. God's got every kind of benefit for you at his disposal. You ought to be seeking for God's wisdom about how to live today. I know what it's like out there in your culture, in your world, how that you have to be tight-lipped about what you believe because of all the hate crimes that's possible. In North Carolina last week, there was a pastor who worked part-time in the state governments also, and he was preaching and talking about the things of God. And they called him into question and had him come in. They were getting ready to fire him. And they wanted all the messages that he had preached in his church as well. Those kind of things are coming to America. They're going to be trying to control these pulpits in America. But they're not going to do it in this one. They're not going to do it in your home because you can live for God if you choose to. So God, give us wisdom. How to talk. What to say. Sometimes we get too militant. And we can shove something down somebody's throat. Anytime you correct that kind of judgment, do it with love. Here's the way I think about it. Think about America in time past when we've had kind of attacks on America. It would seem like that in those times, in the throes of disaster, whether it be Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941, or on September 11th when the Twin Towers fell, that Christians all over this land, you remember it, don't you, 15 years ago? You remember what it was like when America came to church. Why? Because they wanted to come back to God. They knew that it was the truth. They had lived it earlier in their life, or maybe in a generation before, in their families before, but they came back to America because they knew that that was the hope was. And so maybe these kind of perilous times will bring people back to God. Yeah, many times in national calamity, that's when God's children turn back to Him. Solomon wrote it this way: righteousness exalts a nation. That's what this church needs, this country needs. Righteousness. But then goes on to say, but sin is a reproach to any people. Here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that God turns our country back to Him. I'm not afraid. I'm not scared about what's going to happen in the future. You know why? Because I know God's in control. But I think there are some consequences that if America does not come back, God will bring judgment. I'm not backpedaling on the fact that God's going to bring judgment. As a matter of fact, it might be horrifying in the next few years. So what should the church do? You go, okay, Pastor Keith, so what? What am I to do? There's four responses of the church. Once again, they're, if you don't write them down, there in your bulletin. First of all, sound the alarm. Tell the truth about what's wrong. It's time God's Christians start standing up for what's right. To sound the alarm means to tell people that our sins are immoral, they're dangerous, and they're bringing God's judgment. As followers of Jesus, we must tell the truth about what's wrong. If we don't, who will? If we remain silent, who's going to speak up? Once again, I want to tell you that when we do this, we don't do it as belligerent kind of Bible thumpers, that we do it in love. People's lives are falling apart around you, and they're screaming out for help by the way their lives are falling out. And they're saying, somebody love me, somebody care enough for me to tell me about the truth. So sound the alarm. Secondly, make it clear. Don't compromise the message. Sin is not just a mistake. It's not just something that, well, it's a consequence of something that couldn't be avoided. No, sin is sin, isn't it? When a nation's future is at stake, we must not mince words. While avoiding kind of that alarmist kind of position, we must speak these words in love and kindness. You know, when you care for someone, you'll see that in their heart, won't you? We must teach our children. This is a crucial one. We must teach our children, our grandchildren, God's righteousness and teach His principles unequivocally. The third one is to trust our sovereign God. You know, God's still in control, isn't He? This week I want you to look at Psalm chapter 2 in your quiet time. It kind of sits the same kind of situation where America's at. There's worldwide international upheaval and rebellion. The psalmist asks in the very first sentence, he says this, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? He sees the upheaval in a home, in a country. It's obvious that when he began this psalm, that he was out of control. This is a terrible time in our history. But he quickly comes back to the focus of the one who is in control. And that's what verses 4 through 12 is about. So we must trust God. Fourthly, we must refocus properly. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid that we as God's church have taken our eyes off of God. So we need to put our lives back on track and focus on the mission that God has given to us. In verse 7 of Psalm 2, God promises to make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. Did He do that for the land of Israel? Absolutely He did. And will He do that for us when we focus upon Him? Absolutely. So we must refocus to get our eyes back on God and His mission for the church. Look, folks, the Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. In that sense, we are invincible. We carry the message of truth. Here's the exciting fourth principle that I want to give to you this morning. It is in the middle of the conflict that the gospel will go forth effectively. You know, in light of all the scandals that have happened in this election, boy, especially the one this past Friday, isn't that amazing? Classified emails on private servers, continual moral slide out of both parties. Here's what I look at that. I look at it like this, that America is ripe for the truth. They've not heard the truth in a long time. And they're looking for the truth. There's a hunger sweeping our country for the remedy of sin. And Jesus is the answer. He is the only answer for this country. He's the only solution for our America. So Christians, let's sound the alarm. Let's make it clear. Let's trust our sovereign God. Let's refocus properly. Would you please bow your heads this morning? I know, like you, that you're concerned for America. This morning, how many would raise your hand that you've been praying for America this past week? Would you raise your hand? Oh, look at the number of people interceding for, on God's behalf. As we did last week, if you're really concerned about this country's agenda and its leaders, I want to ask you to come forward and pray for America. Just right wherever you're at, if you raise your hand, you're concerned about America, would you just step out right now and come to this altar and let's have another time of prayer. Last week, the altars were full of people praying for God's country. And I'm asking you to intercede before God that He'd help us reach this land for His glory. America needs the Lord, doesn't it? Would you also pray for souls, that Christians should be on attack, giving the truth, that we pray that God would save our land and save those around us? Let's just have a time of quiet prayer.